Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. Thank you for joining us. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And right now, we are going to be joined by our dear friend from Nevada, Ruthie Bryant-White. But unfortunately, I have having problems trying to unmute her. And Ruthie, if you don't mind, just give me a call. And I can get you in that way. You know, for some reason, we seem to be having a lot of problems with the system. And we've had Blog Talk for years now, so I hate to change up. And it's probably just a little glitch, you know, where the NSA is listening in. And maybe they don't like the conservative talk, so they're giving us problems. Who knows? And these days, can you really just, you know, imagine? There's so many things going on, and why in the world? You know, there's people out there that wants to listen on every conversation. Anyway, but I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to wait for Ruthie to give me a call, and I'm going to go ahead and start us off with a prayer. So, and hopefully she'll be able to join us in just a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you that you are God and nothing is hard for you. Now, Lord, these are dark days that we live in, but Lord, you are sovereign and you see all things and you are able to work all things for good for those who love you. And we love you, Lord. We're not deserving of any good thing from you, Lord, because, Lord, we are just a fallen people and we've done so many, Lord, things that I know are not pleasing unto you, Lord. But we do ask for forgiveness. We do ask for help. We ask for your grace and mercy. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we speak about topics that are affecting us citizens of this nation and the world. And, Lord, we just thank you and we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. Okay, maybe our dear friend Ruthie is going to join us. If not, I'm going to have to call her. Oh, I think I hear you. Oh, God is good. Hey.
Hey.
I don't know what happened to that other line. I am doing great. So
I was listening to you
and
the prayer and everything. I was all in for it, honey.
Well, God is good. He got you on board. And, you know, usually that's the way it works, isn't it? I mean, when we pray, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it never fails at how I get, you know, astounded. Astounded that he hears our prayers, you know, and answers mm-hmm. them beautifully. I mean, who all be, Miss Ruthie, that he loves us so much to even take time and listen with, in, you know, considering there's billions of people out there, why would he take the time to listen to you and me?
Because we're taking the time to let him know that we love him and that we want to be obedient.
Oh, there you go. You used the obedient word. You know, I love it because, you know, there's that scripture that says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he that doeth the will of our Father, which is in heaven.
Mm,
so you're
yeah.
right, it is
oh,
about
yeah.
obedience. You know, that mm-hmm. was Jesus speaking. So whenever I get to thinking about it, I think, well, you know, that was Jesus. And, you know, I always hear people say you can bank on it when Jesus says it, you know.
Oh, so you're absolutely right.
Obedience is very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I think, too, you know, some people think, well, Christianity is a killjoy, you know, because we're so staid, we're so stuffy, we don't even dance, you know.
Are you kidding? I mean, being in the Lord is one of the most fun things I've ever done, and I ought to know because I hit the nightclub. And to me, being in a nightclub was boring, you know, because I couldn't believe, I mean, I people around me, everybody was smoking marijuana, and I had those poppy seeds popping on my brand new clothes and smoking from marijuana in my afro, and I was like, I don't need this. I don't think so. This is not working out.
You're making me laugh now. We're not supposed to be happy and funny and all this, that stuff.
Just being real and telling it like it is, honey. It really did happen that way.
and, you know, if the whole world just knew, if the whole world just knew. But, you know, mainstream media, you know, they just like to portray every time there's a movie, a movie or a production that they do, it seems like who's the bad guys? Who's the sullen guys? You know,
now
it's
the Christians and stuff like that. But you know what? I don't even call them mainstream. There's nothing mainstream about them. It's been a while. They just have more money and more power than almost anybody else, but they are not mainstream. They are not. They have hijacked America, you know, propaganda, things like that. There's nothing about them that's except for the numbers and the money that they make, that makes them noticeable. But I have stopped using certain kinds of language, and one of them is that they're mainstream, and they're not. They're not mainstream, and we give them too much credit. And
I mean, I guess you got to say it what it is. Yeah, it's propaganda media. Propaganda media. Didn't Hitler have something like that working in his days?
Well, yeah, but he did. They actually had propaganda films and things like that. You know, they were trying to make a pure race, and they were trying to. Because you know what? There was a picture I saw of Hitler, and I think it was done. I think I was looking at Glenn Beck, and they talked about that he was an artist. And that Hitler did a portrait of himself, and on that portrait, his face was blank. It had no features to it, nothing, no eyes, no nose, no mouth, no anything. Just the oval shape of the face, and that mm-hmm. let me know that he must have hated himself because he was part Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would he want to kill something that was a part of who he was?
Isn't that something?
Unless he did not like himself. You know, you put the two together, you know, and he must not have liked himself. He wanted to kill every image of that. And every eugenist, every person that wants to kill someone and have a pure race, I've noticed that every single one of them are very ugly people. I mean, physically ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to destroy everybody else and try to make this so-called pure race because they don't like themselves. That's what my conclusion is.
That is so sad. Oh, my goodness. Talking about the media, I saw something on, I rarely watch O'Reilly anymore. Mm. And it was something to the effect, there was a lady picked him to come on, talk about, I guess his, you know, he's got these books called Killing This and Killing That, you know, Killing Lincoln and Killing This. Well, it's Killing Jesus. And this girl was going to come on and, Killing Jesus. And he was going to talk about the fact that O'Reilly had it wrong, that he should have pointed out that Jesus was a socialist.
What?
Yes.
You
she was
going to
be on tonight, but I didn't see her. I didn't watch it. I thought,
there's going to be a lot of complaints about that one. There will be a lot of complaints about that one.
Well, I can go from being happy to being mad in minutes when I start thinking about what they're doing, because I think part of the problem is they do lie an awful lot. The media lies an awful lot. They don't tell the truth. I mean, you know, they'll blow up something that's completely untrue. I hate to say it, Miss Ruthie. It sounds a little bit like our president, doesn't it? But anyway.
Well, it does. But you know what? Ministers are held accountable, too. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks, especially like Christina and I have been talking. But, you know, I left town and I was gone for a while. I had to take care of some business, and God really just opened up a lot of doors while I was gone. But one of the things that we've been talking about is that there are a lot of people that are that ministers. I'm talking about ministers because, you know, look at where our world is right now. We are struggling to survive as Americans, the country that God ordained for us, the land of milk and honey. You know, the promised land. He gave to us this land, and we have totally destroyed it. And ministers, there's a church on almost every corner, and yet there's more corruption, there's more destruction of children, there's more dope and alcohol and abuse going on than ever before. To me, that sounds like that the body of Christ hasn't been doing their job. Now, we can
talk
about
cleaning up.
Yeah, well, we're trying to clean up stuff mess that ministers and the media and everybody else and their propaganda has been doing for years. So now we're trying to rush and try to clean up mess that we didn't think we would ever have to clean up.
Yeah. Well, it is time to clean up, and I think one of the things that, you know, I even heard O'Reilly's frustration. It's like, okay, Mr. President, we know Obamacare isn't working. Give in. Let's delay this for a year, you know. Have time to tweak it. Even O'Reilly was saying that, which I was surprised. And this is, you know, and this is what's so good about you coming on tonight, because you do have a great idea, Ms. Ruthie, and we want the listeners to hear about it. So if you don't mind, would you go ahead and share that idea?
There's about three things I did when I was a presidential candidate, and for those people who may not know, that I was the first presidential candidate of the 2008 elections. I started my candidacy in 2005, and one of the things about running for president, you just don't run for president. You find out about the issues that concern Americans, and I was concerned about the issues that were concerning our country. Healthcare, education, you know, our financial situations in the country and our education. So those were the things that God put on my heart to come up with a solution for. Now, you might say, well, how could God give you that information to come up with a solution for it when you didn't become president? Well, that was probably because it has to go in, it needs to go into effect now. Because everybody is now seeing that all the things that they praised in 2008 and never did work out, and now we need something more, and people, they don't know what to do. They've gone through legislation as much as they can. That's not working. The candidates that they voted for, that's not working. You know what I'm saying? And so now we are in a desperate situation. So one of the things I created was the Alexander McGee Medical Co-op Foundation, which we call the 100% Healthcare Now program. And if you know anything about co-ops, it's all it is everybody working together to help each other. So that if you have a situation in a healthcare situation, a dental situation, a vision situation where you need to go to the doctor, if you got a lot of people working, paying into it the same way they pay into an insurance company, whether it's life insurance, disability insurance, or, anything else, you are paying into the company so that somebody else can get the health care that they need. So what happens is that we designed the Alexander McGee Medical Co-op Foundation so that people can get the health care that they need without the overhead and paying $200 and $300 a month for health care and then having to go pay a copay when they have to go see the doctor or the dentist or the optometrist and then having to pay for the glasses, having to pay for the hospital stay, having to pay for the procedure that you have to have done. This will take care of that. But the only, what we're doing, my reporter out of Arizona said, Ruth, we need to put this into action. He's been promoting it for the last few days because I was gone out of town. He started promoting it before I left out of town to go to Colorado. And when, he was like, this is the only game in town now. He says, and everybody needs it. He said, we need to really get millions of people in this. He says, and I'm going to be one of the first ones. I said, well, we have already 10 members. I said, but people have got to really believe in it and really support it so that we can undercut what the president has done to us. So the question came, what about, he says, we're going to be penalized between $300 and $750 if we don't take the what my husband calls the unaffordable health care program. And I said to him, I said, but look, I said, if you're penalized $350 to $700 this year, for next year or the year after or whatever, then it's going to be okay because you are going to be in a co-op where you are getting whatever you need when you have to go to the doctor. Now, the way the co-op works is that most people are healthy. So the way that we're going to the benefit to people who are healthy, that's paying, we're talking about paying only like something as small as $25 a month for your health care. And then maybe $5 a month is per each child, you know what I'm saying, in your family, in your
mm-hmm.
household.
Yeah,
and that way, that way is not a burden on the parents, and they can have a little bit of money in their pocket. Now, those who are sick, then we who are healthy take care of them. So when they go to the doctor, every bill is paid. When the doctor says this is what the bill is or what the co-op is, co-op pays for that. And then when the procedure is, the co-op pays for that. And so that leaves the burden away from you because you paid into the co-op versus in an insurance company where you're paying $200 or $300 a month plus paying the co-op plus the copay plus paying the procedure. You won't have that problem in a co-op. So we're taking the stress off and we're being able to give people the health care that they need. And the benefit for those who are of us who are healthy is that we will share in the dividends, the interest every year. That's something that's not done. And we're not trying to make money off of it. We're trying to help each other rise to the top health health-wise.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that they don't have that, you don't have that worry. And like,
yeah.
We got people that are truckers, like your husband's a trucker. We have people that are, that are in the entertainment industry. And I'm not talking about actors only. I'm talking about people who do the lighting or do the set decorating and stuff. These guys need health care. And they're not going to have enough money. They're not going to make enough money to be able to afford that kind of health care. Or you're talking about a small business or whatever. If there's a couple of things that people can do. If you own a company and you think it's going to be a problem, number one, we can come in and have that co-op in your company. Because if the government says, well, we didn't approve of this co-op, that's not a problem either because it's like a savings plan and it's like a group, like a community savings plan. So we get around, that's what it is really. It's saying, okay, you need help. Let's you know, let's take care of it now, and it's taken care of.
Ms. Ruthie, are you saying that's just $25 a month per family or per person, and then $5
per month per like per member, and then if they have a couple, then that I mean if they're husband or spouse, that's $25 for the family. But then the children, $5 extra per person per child.
Wow, you know, that's great. Let me read to you a comment that was posted on the Affordable Care Act Obamacare Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
because I think this is really just comparing what you're offering. This is great. It says, I actually made it through this morning at 8 a.m. I have a pre-existing condition, type 1 diabetes, and my income base was $45,000 to $55,000 annually. I chose Tier 2, the Silver Plan, and my monthly premiums came out to $597 with a $13,988 yearly deductible. There is no possible way that I can afford this, so I opt out and chose to continue along with no insurance. I received an email tonight at 5 p.m. informing me that my fine would be $4,037 and could be attached to my yearly income tax return. Then you make it to the repercussions portion for non-payment of yearly fine. And then he goes on and says, first, your driver's license will be suspended until paid, and if you go 24 consecutive months with non-payment and you happen to be a homeowner, you will have a federal tax lien placed on your home. You can agree to give your bank information so they can easily say automatically withdrew your penalty weekly, biweekly, or monthly. This by no means is free or even affordable. And it says, P.S., the person who originally posted this is now getting death threats from enraged Obama supporters. Good job, America, voting for this collection of losers. But anyway.
Whoa.
That is pretty scary.
It really is. And that's one of the things. Now, that has been an issue that I, you know, wanted to talk about, because if, you know, should somebody, you know, be penalized the way that they want to penalize them, you know, we may have to go to court. But the point, my thing that is, when you're going through court, it takes 2 or 3 or 4 years or whatever the case may be to deal with a case like this. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about a company, somebody trying to say that you're not doing the right thing. The thing is that we're a savings thing, and if we have to fight it, then we're going to need the resources to be able to fight that so that we can protect that person. But in the meantime, while you're fighting a case, that person is still has diabetes. My thing is, I want to make sure that they get the care that they need. So if we have to fight in 3 or 4 years, by the time we're fighting in 3 or 4 years, they're still getting the care that they need to have. I could care less about what they're trying to do.
Wow, you know this.
You see
is,
what I'm saying? Because it's an issue. While they're fighting, while she's worrying, you see all the things that they'll be worrying about.
Yeah.
We don't need that. If we have to get a Jay Sekulow or somebody like that to come on board to do what has to be done, we have to do that. And I'm ready for that kind of thing.
Well, I think it's going to eventually be thrown out, because what's going to happen is, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you're going to get hit the same. You know, you're going to get hit the same way. And I think there's, when you're talking about that kind of money that you're going to be expected to come out, and, you know, a lot of the young people, you know, for a long time we kept hearing, oh, you know, they can just get their insurance whenever they're ready. Well, the penalty part, though, was not something that they've been looking
at
till now. And that sounds like major amounts of money, and the single individual, these young people, they don't have that kind of money to burn. You know, and then the driver's license. You're talking about holding up somebody's driver's license. You know, you can't drive.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about maybe losing job if it's, you know, suspended, because a lot of people
that's what they
have to have the license.
But that's what they want to do. They wanted to totally destroy the country. This totally is going to destroy everything that the country stands for. If they can't get you one way, they'll come after you. They're trying to come after you and us in all other kinds of ways. And we just need to be prepared for it because, yeah, we could possibly lose all of those things. But that's the reason why we cannot depend on this society the way it is set up at this point. It's totally set up to destroy us and to collapse our economy and to collapse our system, our way of doing things, our God, the way God ordained this country to be in the first place. Can you believe this? This is the way he ordained the country to be in the first place. And they don't want, and now they're trying to destroy every little thing that this country is supposed to stand for, the principles of God. We got to fight it with everything that we have because we're getting ready to lose everything.
Well, you know, we have Grace Mary Turner that comes on. You know, Ms. Ruthie, I think you may have been on with Ms. Grace Marie, which Ms. Grace Marie is the top, Obamacare expert. When they were having that Supreme Court ruling about Obamacare,
she was on with
Stuart Varney. You know, that in the Fox Business News, this lady knows Obamacare. I've subscribed to her newsletter, but something came up. I just got this, I think it was today, an article, and it's posted on USA Today, and she sent us a copy of it. And it's talking about the same thing, really. It confirms what that person just blogged about. She says, despite the happy talk from President Obama about enrollment being easy online and shopping, consumers are in for some big shocks. And that person was in shock. She is right. First will be the daunting cost. It's just like you said, the cost. Health insurance in the exchanges will be far from free. In most states, premiums will be higher than in the private market today, especially for the young people that the administration most needs to enroll. Since those who choose a plan with the lowest premium likely will still face deductibles and copayments of several thousand dollars a year on top of the monthly premiums. And in his case, it was pretty hefty. He says, even with subsidies, most will find exchange coverage to be very expensive. Says many young voters who worked tirelessly to elect President Obama are still in denial that they were played for sucklers with a health law. When they have to pay higher premiums for these policies, their idealism will crash into reality.
Seriously. Absolutely. And it's a shame that we have to get to this point. But these guys these guys were on the offensive, and they were able to tell people to snow them with any kind of propaganda they could possibly give to them. And they took it hook, line, and sinker. And then when they get hit and they realize he don't give a squat about them or anybody else in their family or anything else, they're going – it may very well be too late for them. You know,
well,
and we've got to do
everything timely. I think that idea, what you're offering with that health, you know, with your health plan, is a smart way. I mean, they can go ahead and sign up for that. I mean, we're talking about $50. Most young people would prefer to pay that $50 than to pay the hefty, you know, just like in that article, you know, his monthly premium was going to come out to $597 with a $13,988 deductible a year. So, you know. And if he opts out of that government plan, of that that plan right there, in this case it was a silver plan, if he opts out of that, then he would be fined $4,000.
Just for opting out and not finding their own. Because he see the lies he told everybody? They could choose what they wanted to choose. You remember all of that? Now it's like if you opt out of that and want to change into something else, you cannot. They're all going to start finding out this stuff. And that's one
and
of the
I
things
feel
that,
so
about
bad
the
for them.
Well, I do too, because, you know, like I said, the co-op is set up where I have people asking me things like, you know, what about the doctor? Do we have to choose a certain kind of doctor? I'm like, whatever doctors you have is fine. We're not here to get into your personal business. We're here to make sure that when you go to the doctor, your bills are taken care of. That's all we're here to do. You know, so when
well,
you
I
go to the doctor,
that,
say,
Oh, go ahead, Ms. Ruthie.
No, no, I was going to say just when they go to the doctor and, you know, their copay is whatever and stuff, they call, the you know how the doctors always call to make sure your insurance is valid and stuff like that? They call,
mm-hmm.
you know, we give them the card number and their bill is paid. The
mm-hmm.
only thing that will disqualify you for the co-op is if you are a fraudulent doctor and we find out through investigation or you're a fraudulent member.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
that's the only thing
any,
that will kick you out.
Now, how did they apply for this, or what is that criteria when they apply for this?
No, all they have to do is just fill out some information. I purposely have it set up where they have to print it out, and the reason why is because I don't want government to be able to go online and find their information. And we don't ask for anything but their name and address and stuff. We don't need Social Security numbers and all that other kind of stuff.
You
That's
don't need their health
ask.
History and anything
Oh, no,
like that.
We're not interested. No, we're interested in making sure that we take care of them. So this is the way it would work. So, for instance, let's say we have a total of 100 members paying $25 to $50 a month. Maybe some people might be paying $75 if they have five kids. And you've got mostly everybody, like 90% of those people, are healthy. Every month, they're all paying their bill every month, their health care every month. And then you've got somebody who's sick who needs to go to the doctor. We're here to take care of that, you know, that so that they don't have that problem. But when you get sick, that health care is there for you too, because you're normally not sick. So that money is building up every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, then it, for those people who were healthy and stuff like that and they just been paying into the co-op, they're going to get dividends because they helped everybody else in the community stay well.
Wow. Well, really, this is a win-win situation, especially for the young person
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that has to have it now or be penalized. I mean,
yeah.
when you divide the 4,037 penalty that this
mm-hmm.
guy was going to have, I mean,
mm-hmm.
That is $336 a month.
See,
that,
and
you know,
just,
if you
so
divide
they don't
by
care.
12.
And some people barely make that much. You know, I was going to say, be sarcastic and say that some people barely make that much a month. But some places, they barely do make that kind of money. You know, maybe that much in a week, so that maybe 25% of their income is going for that health care plan. You know, so you've got, you know, there's a whole lot of things that can go down, and what we wanted to do is make it better. I ran for office because I wanted to make things better for the community. I didn't like the people that are in high places that are totally dictating what happens in our society. I don't like the fact that you got AARP and people like that in Washington, D.C. lobbying to do whatever they want to do. These guys are the reason why that they're there is that to totally control what is going on in our country. And if we get enough people, when we get enough people in the co-op, that's going to almost collapse that kind of nonsense. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're able to come above that, and while they're fighting, want to fight in court or whatever the case may be, we're helping people stay healthy.
Well, you know, that's a wonderful idea. And, you know, you're really saying the same thing that Ben Carson, I saw him tonight, and he's saying if these people weren't really about control, this would not be a problem.
It wouldn't be a problem. But we're going to do everything that we possibly can, because if we can at least, you know, I was looking at the situation today. I was, you know, about Bill and Melinda Gates and how much they're dealing into with Common Core. Do you know, Professor White, he alerted me today. He said, do you know how much money that Bill and Melinda Gates have, because their executives of Microsoft are asking Bill Gates to step down because he's spending a lot of time in his, quote, foundation. You know how much that foundation has? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has $30 billion with a B dollars.
Mm. Yeah.
And they want to have more so that they can totally destroy our kids, you know, with the Common Core part. And I call this healthcare thing the Common Core of healthcare. I call every problem that we have Common Core of whatever, whether it's economics, Common Core of this and that and the other, because it's the same strategy to totally destroy and dumb down our society.
It's awful, Miss Ruthie, but you are so right. You know, Obamacare and Obamacore, or Common Core, comes from the same piece, you know, on the same pod. And you can see it right through. The plan is to, you know, force it in there before everybody knows what's going on and let them hurt later. It doesn't matter. You know, once we've got them, I mean, it's so much harder to get out. And so, you know, I know that it's hard to close down the government, but you know, the way I was thinking is, when is this going to stop? They're not scared of anything. It's like, and they don't care if the whole country shut down and never opened up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be their way or no way. And that's the way it's been in the past. I mean, you know, we've always had to give in the past. And you know, they never really changed because they don't care to change. They don't really care to change. And so, because they don't really care about the American people. I mean, why would you make a law like this that's going to penalize, you know, young people, hardworking people? And from what I was seeing somewhere, you know, really, it's the, and I figured it myself. I can still add a little bit, but, and it was big numbers, but, so I did need a calculator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was doing some figures, and I was looking at, I had read an article that said, you know, right now our debt is like $17 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But when it started off in his inauguration, the debt was like around $10
trillion.
Mm-hmm. So he's added $7 trillion by himself, not to Bush, by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And his term isn't even up. But by the time his term is through, it will be $20 trillion in debt that we will be under, and about 10 of that will be his own. It won't be George Bush. It will be his own. And then I got thinking, what if he just used one-tenth of that trillion, $1 trillion, and, you know, he cares about the low, poor people.
Yeah.
If he cares so much about them, why don't he just give them the money and go through, quit going through the hoops, all this stuff that they're going through, just flat out give it to the
people that need it.
You know,
look at what's happening with Bill Gates and all those guys. Look at those guys. They got so many billions of dollars. Donald Trump and all those guys. If they all really cared about stuff, they could help things get done in the communities. We know what has to be done here. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the reasons why I started the co-op, is because it's like we're right here on the ground level. This is here where everybody lives. You know, we can help our own self. We don't need their stinking dollars. You know, but that if they
Guess how much money? Guess how much money, Miss Ruthie? If you divide $1 trillion by the number of poor people, which is 39 million, in that poverty level, each person would get $25,000. That's just one person. So you're talking about a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
They would get over $100,000. Now, I think if a poor person was listening to that, I think I'd be upset. You mean he could have gave me the money?
I
could have done a lot with that money.
I like what you said. I think we should talk about that. Well, why don't we write something up and put it in a title or something so that we can say, you know, say something so that we say that in a title so that they can understand. You know, if the government, this is how much was been wasted. This is how much, if everybody was given that much, if they care so much about you, this could be in your hands. But they don't care anything about you. Nobody, they don't care anything about you. You know, and I think what's happening, honestly, is that a lot of people that voted for the president are realizing that they shouldn't have done it, but they can't bear to tell anybody. Because they know that they are in real serious trouble. You know, and some of their own family members. Hmm? No,
it's not looking good. I mean, it's a shame. It's a crime. When you could have given that money straight to a family, tax credits or whatever, and really lifted up the family instead of trying to control making them go through food stamps and all these programs, which
mm-hmm.
makes you feel beholden. You're
mm-hmm.
not really, you know, you really are beholden, because at any point they can come into your house, they can look at your, you know, like
whatever, your closet, anything.
Yeah, what you're eating, they can look at who's living with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are really under their control. It is
mm-hmm.
Big Brother. You
mm-hmm.
signed
it
off
is.
So you could get that monthly amount, but at the same time, when you compare $1 trillion and he could have actually given that to you, man, a lot of people would have been better off had that been what happened, instead of everybody getting a piece of the pie like Planned Parenthood. You remember how he held up the budget? Because of Planned Parenthood. So that just goes to show, if you think he cares about you, no, I'm sorry, you're not Planned Parenthood.
No, but they have their own agenda. And when you look at the fact that these guys have been working at this for a whole lot of years, only God is going to be able to destroy their works. You know, they're so far gone, and every day there's something new happening, where they've got another master plan. And just right, you know, not just getting off of healthcare for a second, you know, right here in Nevada, Warren Buffett is planning on buying our energy department, our energy company. And he's friends with Obama. But we knew that it was an acquisition, because I had been seeing the information that it was an acquisition. So God only knows what's getting ready to happen, how they're going to try to monitor and tell people that they can't use a certain amount of energy or whatever, and this is what they come up with that everybody should be using according to energy. That means that people's lives are going to be going out when they think they should go out. That's what happens in China. That's what happens in China and places like that.
Yes, it's
heartbreaking. This is why I'm trying to empower people. This is why I'm trying to empower people with media, with the Breaking News Journal. This is why I'm doing it with the healthcare. This is why we're doing what we're doing with education. We have to now understand that we are living in a world that's totally different than what God ordained us to be. But we weren't paying attention, and a lot of people were not listening. And now we're paying the consequences for it. You know, I already asked God for forgiveness, you know, because I think that the healthcare plan that we have, even businesses, I wanted to tell businesses this, that if you feel that you can't keep your employees because of the fact that you're not going to be able to take this penalty or whatever that's given to you, why don't you hire your employees as independent contractors? If they're independent contractors, then everybody is responsible for their own health care.
Right, and then go through a process with you, and that would save them a lot of money.
They can go through a process. Yeah, they can go through a process with me or whatever. But that would be harder for the government to deal with. You see what I'm saying? Because they're individuals.
Let me ask you, Ms. Ruthie, before we forget, where do you want people to go and sign up?
Okay, www.breakingnewsjournal.net. There is a page there. Look on the menu. You'll see the 100% Healthcare Now plan. And actually, I sent you the link. You can put that link on this program. You can go back and edit when you go to edit it. Put that link in there, and all they have to do is click on that link, and they can fill it out, and they can the money link is there. They can just, you know, do that, and, you know, we'll just be keeping up with it. And it goes into PayPal and stuff like that. I don't, our accountants will look at everything. We're planning on making sure that we have like at least good of 4 or 5 accountants, because once we start getting an influx of people coming in, then we're going to have a lot of people making sure they're keeping up with the records and stuff like that. But it'll be available for anybody to see. You know,
well, you know, it's a great idea, timely, Ms. Ruthie. God is good that, you know, he gave you that idea a long time ago. You knew that health care was an issue, and it is very expensive, but there is a way, and it's God's way. That's what you really figured out, you know, is God's way of doing it. And I see it as a wonderful thing. I believe it can work, and I believe, you know, people need to go to that instead of going through that penalty. My goodness, $4,000 of non-payment penalty, that's no longer a dime. You know, they made it sound like, oh, it's not going to be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is bad.
Of course it is. It's absolutely insane.
Oh,
you know, it's not only bad. These people are not people that care about us. They're not even people that know the industries that they're talking about. They don't know the healthcare industry. They don't know the education industry. I mean, the education business. They don't know anything. But all they know is they're a part of some group. Somebody that we don't know anything about, except for Bill Ayers and Bill and Melinda Gates and all these other people that are doing things that are experimenting with our children and experimenting with our lives in order to achieve their agenda. We've got to do something about it so that we can be empowered. And if we're going to be empowered, and then we can fight back. You know, we need, for a lot of different reasons, we need people that have the kinds of money that Bill and Melinda Gates and those guys have, and start putting it into the grassroots people and the grassroots businesses and stuff like that. That's the only way we're going to survive this.
Well, you know, I was saying something, and we have, you know, Luca Bocci that comes on, and he's from Europe, and, you know, he's seen the face of socialism. But one of the things that I read about when I was trying to figure out this money, he could have easily just given us $1 trillion. But that's not it. They've got to have that money in order to put money into Common Core so that all states would sign up thinking they're going to get millions, you know, lots of money to make their changes in the education system. Never mind, they're going to have to pay that, you know, start paying some of that back later.
Absolutely.
And, you know, out of their own pocket, because it's going to cost so much more than what they were given. But then, you know, it's the same application, the same plan for everything else, for health care. I'm going to give you a little bit of money, but in the long run, it's going to cost you more. And that's what states that are saying no to the health care exchange. They know that once they sign on to that little bit of money, kind of like Common Core, race to the top, I'm going to give you a little bit of money, that they're going to be in for the hook, and it's forever. They might have a waiver for a few years, but once that time starts rolling in, that is forever. You know,
it absolutely is
terrible, because it is like fishing. They're fishing for us, and we're, you know, we're taking the bait and not thinking things through.
And these are people that we thought, not only, Diana, you're talking about people. Right now, we can't trust anybody. You've got people that many people have put in office that are now become turncoats. They are people that are making deals with Obama and making deals with Harry Reid. And these are people that we're not supposed to be making these kind of deals with them, because it's going to destroy us, and they know it, and they're doing things undercover. All kinds of things are going on now. We cannot depend on these people anymore. And we need to freeze the monies of people who are destroying our country. And if our president is not doing the things that are right, which we know he's not, it's time for impeachment processes.
Yeah, we've got to do something. Impeachment, to get rid of them. I just think people's had enough, and then, you know, the system is coming after the children's mind and driving the children crazy and driving the parents crazy. So I think parents have had it. I think one by one is going to, you know, the emperor has no clothes, and we're seeing that. But I want to mention this, because Bill O'Reilly mentioned the same thing, and, you know, Grace Marie had shared us this. A father in Iowa writes that his handicapped daughter, who is on Medicaid, has to wait 2.5 months for a doctor's appointment.
Mm-mm.
Now, to treat her bladder problems. Now, when
her
they
bladder
add
problem?
More people,
does he have to wait two
yes,
and a half months?
2.5. Now, when you add more people to the Medicaid rolls, because this is what they're saying, Medicaid is broken because of the waiting. Because, you know, it's hard to find a doctor, a Medicaid doctor, because in essence, the doctors are paying for the program. They're not really getting paid like they should. So when they add more to the program, he says that now, you know, she will have to wait 6 months next time.
Oh,
and he
geez.
Says no one takes into consideration what's going to happen to those who are currently on Medicaid. See, that's the part they're not talking a lot about. A long waiting period can kill a person. You know, it could have been something treatable, but if you're waiting forever, and that's one of the things, and Bill O'Reilly did get that tonight. I did hear him talk about that same thing, that the waiting late, you know, can you imagine having a bladder problem, a kidney problem, and you're having to wait? Mm-mm. Oh my goodness.
You know it's gonna destroy you. And this is just insane stuff. Okay, this is just insane stuff, and they don't care, and they know exactly what they're doing. Don't think that this president is dumb. He's not dumb at all. He knew exactly what he was doing and the kind of people that he was around to get this thing done.
And yeah, it's so sad because all they had to do was look at Europe. I mean, we were going through this at the start of his, at the start of him being his presidency. We were seeing, Europe, the fall.
Absolutely.
And, it's like Luca has said, their effort to create the nanny state with having the rich pay for it failed. But instead, it's paid for by the middle class and poor. And I got thinking, well, how would you say it's paid for by the poor? Well, when you have a hardworking man who's having to work two or three jobs, he's paying for it.
And
people that are on welfare, because Miss Ruthie, you think about the people that maybe are out of work, can't find a job, their children are in trouble. You know, they're paying for it in so many ways. Their children are paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Their children are
mm-hmm.
in trouble all the time. You know, they can't hardly make their own bills met. And,
but they don't want that. This is what we need to understand. This is what they're trying to do. Just like they're doing in the education system that they're going for a workforce education for these kids. They want to destroy them. So they what they're trying to do and what they are going to successfully do, if we don't get a handle on this, is there's going to be only the rich and the very, very poor.
Yeah, and the middle class is really what helps
that's
make
gonna be
America
gone.
What it is.
It's going to be gone.
Yeah,
but it's going to be gone.
We're going to pray to God for a miracle, and it's coming up right almost at the end. But I'm so glad about that idea because I think it is a great idea. And, folks, if you did not hear this, I'm going to read it one more time because I think this little comment from somebody who actually went through the trials. He said, I actually made it through this morning at 8 a.m. I have a pre-existing condition, type 1 diabetes. My income base was $45,000 to $55,000 annually. I chose the Tier 2 civil plan. My monthly premiums came out to $597 with $13,988 yearly deductible. He says, no possible way I can afford this, so I opt out and chose to continue along with no insurance and received an email that night, tonight. Yesterday,
mm-hmm.
at night at 5 p.m. So if you don't fill it in, they're going to haunt you. They're going to send you an email telling you what your fine is going to be and that they're going to attach it to your income tax return. And if you don't pay it, then there's going to be repercussions such as your driver's license being suspended until paid. And if you go 24 consecutive months with non-payment, and you happen to be a homeowner, you will have a federal tax lien placed on your home.
Oh,
that
goodness.
Does not sound good.
No, are you kidding? It sounds absolutely atrocious, And so we have to do it now. Time is of the essence here. Now is the time for everybody to get into the program, the 100% health care now plan. We can do it if we get our friends and our families and everybody to just usher in on this. By the end of this year, we will be able to be empowered with our own plan and be able to go to the doctors that we need to and get the health care that we need to have. And that means that, we're talking about a lower overhead because we're not trying to have an overhead. We can have people that will be administrators and stuff like that, but it won't be that kind of overhead where you're talking about big buildings and lavish offices and people taking trips all over the place and taking people's money and doing all kind of crazy stuff with. That's not going to happen. One of the things that made me think about this, and I remember when Steve and I first got married. In the 80s, I had a very good health care plan because I was working for the Veterans Administration. And he had a health care plan, and when the health care plan that he had, between the both of our plans, we could offset our health care. We didn't have to pay anything. They got wind of that kind of thing. So then they started saying, oh, well, we cannot accept both health care plans. We could accept one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that you were going to have to come out of some money somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
Even though we were both paying for health care plans.
And,
when he was an educator, he had to pay for, he had a good plan, I had a good plan.
Wow.
And they said, well, you know, no, we, you know, we're going to accept one or the other. Which one are you going to use? Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started looking at, then I started, when they came up with the HMO, and then HMOs, they were saying, okay, well, you have to come to the doctor next month on this day. And I'm like, what if I'm on my woman's day?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to the doctor that day and say, well, then you'll have to come back. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That
mm-hmm.
means you'll never
mm-hmm.
see the doctor
mm-hmm.
if it's the same time
mm-hmm.
every month.
Wow.
You know, so these are the kind of, and then you look at, and I started look at calculating this. I'm like, every job I've had, you know, the way I had good money taken out of my for health care and stuff like that, all the money I put into health care, and then you go on disability or you go get unemployed, all that money is gone. That's money in the bank for them.
You're right. You're right.
It's, it doesn't matter how many companies you work for, you lose your insurance everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. This one you can stay with.
Right, because this is the thing. Look at it like, as this, Aunt Ruthie or Uncle Steve, you're saying, I have to take my kids to the doctor today. And I say, okay, Aunt Ruthie and Uncle Steve, we're going to go to the savings account and get you the money so you can pay your doctor. That's the way to look at this, because it's like family and community helping each other. And that's, you know, and it's a medical co-op foundation. It's not a health care thing. It's basically saying to you, you got your health care taken care of, but it's really us saying we're taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what, you know, so it's a health care co-op. And see,
mm-hmm.
Another good thing about this is that you start your plan tonight for $25 tonight, that's what you'll be paying. There are most co-ops, and there's a lot of them. The most co-ops will charge you $5,000 to $6,000 just to join, because they know the asset to being in a co-op, and they're taking care of their overhead right up front. That's not what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We want it because we know most of us can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to do that. We want everybody to get together and let's make this thing work. That's my agenda. That's the way we want to make this work. And all of us are in this together. I've always said that we're all in this whole thing together.
Wow. Well, I think we need to share this far and wide, Ms. Ruthie. And again, if you don't mind, say that website again.
Go to www.breakingnewsjournal.net and click on the 100% Healthcare Now link, and you will be able to see all the information. Read it. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with me, or you can email me at breakingnewsjournal.net. You can call at 702-260-4849 if you have any questions and stuff like that. And, you know, let's get this thing on the roll. You know?
I know there is something called, I've seen this kind before. I know there are
mm-hmm.
some that I've heard in the news.
Yes.
And from what I understand, you know, what you're doing is the same thing. Now, they had different criteria for theirs.
Yes.
Not everybody could join that. But pretty much yours is anybody can join it. You're not even looking at pre-existing conditions to hold people out, which I guess that's what Obamacare says, is, you know, you can join. That pre-existing condition goes out the door anyway. But it sounds very, very workable, you know.
It's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it's just us helping each other. And just so that people understand, this is going to benefit you in a lot of different ways. I mean, I was telling one of my people is that, you know, did you ever hear about the gasoline co-op? There were people that started a co-op a long, long time ago. They were paying 28 cents a gallon in their co-op, their gasoline co-op. Do you know how much they're paying now for gasoline? They're paying 28 cents a gallon for gasoline because they started in the co-op years ago. And now
wow.
that when all of these big things start happening and everybody's crying because they're paying $4 a gallon or $5 a gallon or whatever it goes up and down to be, they're still paying 28 cents.
Wow. I should have gotten in on that one.
Yeah, I wish I would have known about it, too. I was like, what? Yeah, but these kind of things exist. And so we're trying to say, people, it's here now. Let's do it. I don't want us to have to go up at all on prices or anything like that on co-ops. Let's get in now. Let's get millions of brothers and sisters and everybody involved in this so that we will be self-sufficient and we can fight this thing.
Well, you know, and I have heard somebody, you know, say that, you know, we're going to quit. Paying insurance, you know, we're going to look for something else because their insurance was going up. It was doubling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, I think that's what everybody's going to be in for a shock is because by next year, everybody's insurance will probably be doubled. And, you know, you can't afford it. It's like, you know, you can't afford to be without it, but you can't afford to be with it. So, you know, people really need to be looking at your co-op program because I think that is going to be such a miracle, a miraculous thing, because, you know, it will help, it will make the big difference.
And the books are open, you know, where you know, it's not a situation where you don't know what's going on. The books are open, and the reason why we have people go, you know, and put it, you know, through PayPal, those are things that you can always see records of. You can always tell what's going on. You know, if money has to come out for healthcare things or even paying staff, because we do have to pay people to process stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? But it to be abused and misused, no, that's not going to happen.
Well, let's go ahead and give it to the Lord in prayer. I just, you know, you're an answer to a prayer, because I can imagine, you know, if I was in the shoes of that man, Miss Ruthie, you know, he would just love to hear your idea. I don't know how to get that information to him. I wish
I could.
Well,
where did you get the information? Do you know where you got the information?
It was a Facebook posting. I'll try to find the first one and see if we can't, you know, get it through.
If you can find the Facebook posting and we can see what we can find out, we can find out who the author of that article was or how they got information or whatever, and we can go from there. But, yeah, let's try to find them, and let's try to, you know, get this thing really moving fast, because it's already now October, and if we have this sold up before the end of the year, we, you know, that's people that this is people that will be benefiting and stuff like that. And they can say, I'm a part of a co-op, I have my health care. You know what I'm saying?
And it's, you know, it doesn't matter where they live, it's a co-op, so they can be wherever.
Yeah, it's a co-op. Hallelujah. It's like,
so,
this is Uncle Stephen, Aunt Ruth's healthcare co-op savings plan. So I called my Uncle Stephen and Aunt Ruth, and they paid for my healthcare, and that's all that really matters. Because look at it. The doctor is the one, when you go to the doctor, they want to know that they're getting paid. If they have a good turnaround between 24 hours and 48-hour good turnaround where they're going to get their money back right away, they're going to do a good job to all of our co-op members.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful, Miss Ruthie. Well, let's
and I need you to get
to
in touch
Lord.
With what's her name. Get in touch with what's her name that works with all the doctors. I need her to contact me because there's a lot of doctors that are working with her that are in despair, and I want to work with them to say, hey, look, we can work it this way. Since you're planning on leaving your practice anyway, let's work together.
Yes, Grace Marie Turner,
Galen.org. Yes.
I will give you their website. I'll give you
her
email.
I have their website. Have her call me. I need her to call me because she's too hard for me to try to reach.
Well, maybe when she comes on the show, you can come on and y'all can have a little conversation about it, because that is going to be helpful to everybody that's having a hard time. I feel for that poor guy, but, you know, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them out there. Send her this program. Send her this program,
you know,
and send her the link.
It's a crime, Ms. Ruthie, because there's going to be some people whose health is bad anyway. And you're talking about making your blood pressure shoot up. I mean, to be hit with that information, if I was that person, I would be about ready to have a heart attack. you know.
I'm
because
sure,
it's
I'm
like
sure.
the
Can
government.
You imagine?
Oh, my gosh, the government has got their hands on your throat. You know,
absolutely.
You can't move this way, you can't move that, and you got to have electricity. You got to have a house. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, these things are going to take that away from people.
That's
so
right.
you're going to have more homeless people,
you
know. You're going to have more homeless people if they're not careful. We got to put a stop to it. They need to be joining up with this co-op. So if you don't mind, oh, God is so good. You're just so, God is timely. He is on time all the time.
He is all
and look,
the time.
For you to let me know that you had this thing today, you know, and we could air it and there's people searching, is from God, just showing them that, you know, I've got your back. I have got you covered. I've already thought about it. I've already told Ruthie what to do. Now you just listen. And make it easy for yourself. Isn't that sweet of God?
We're just working together. We're all working together. And,
oh
you know, we'll
God.
Get through this, but we have to get through this thing together. Because other countries and stuff, we have to realize that other countries have been destroyed because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't communicate with one another. Or either somebody was too stupid to try to do anything to help anybody else. They didn't want to help anybody else. They thought about themselves.
Well, we've got to pray and give it to God. And I'm going to tell a little story before we close this, Ruthie. I mean, it just, you know, again, I think it's just testimony of God's amazing love. I went
mm-hmm.
somewhere and I was, I decided I was going to go and spend night with my sister. And
mm-hmm.
so I drove an hour away. I had sent her a text, but she did not receive my text that I was fixing to come that night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knocked on her door, rang her doorbell for about 15 minutes, maybe 20. No answer. I even backed up the car, flooded the door with lights, hoping that they could see, you know, some of the brightness of the lights, and that would wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
And no, nothing. I even hit, you know, your panic alarm on your keychain, you know. I hit that, and nobody is like, oh, my goodness, they're not even home. So I was really heartbroken because I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to have to drive and get a hotel and this and that. And I said, I'm going to try one more time, you know. I backed the car up again and put the lights back on where it was shining inside. And then I thought, well, I'm going to listen and make sure the doorbell's even, you know, ringing. Maybe
mm-hmm.
the doorbell's just not working. So I listened, and sure enough, it was ding, 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 ding. It was working.
Wow.
Nobody heard anything. There was nobody coming to the door or anything. And then I thought, you know, I looked and peered into that house, and that house looked so inviting. My
wow.
sister's got a real pretty house, and
oh,
and I said,
wow.
and I was thinking to myself, I know that my sister loves me. She would love for me to be there, and she's got this wonderful, you know, soft bed for me to sleep in for the
wow.
night, you know. And it's like I'm
yeah.
just on the other side, Miss Ruthie, and I can't come in. I know I'm welcome, but I can't come in. So guess what I did? I remembered I had not prayed. In my
whoa.
Panic, because I thought it was just going to be a done deal. Who would have thought that ringing the doorbell would require prayers, right? I didn't even think about ringing the doorbell, but I've been standing there for almost half an hour, and nobody was answering me. It didn't even look like anybody was home. So I thought, Lord, you know, I prayed. And guess what? Right after I prayed, I was peering into that house. I heard the dog starts barking. There's a dog that normally was inside the house. The little dog was outside the house. They just happened to put him outside, which was a good thing, because if he had been inside, he probably wouldn't have heard. But he was outside, and he started barking. And within a minute, I saw my brother-in-law going to the back porch and throwing something at that dog. And then he turns around because he sees the light, and he runs to the door, and he lets me in, and he tells my sister, your sister is here. They did not hear. And
whoa.
Not until I prayed did that dog start barking. He
wow.
said he had gotten onto that dog earlier in the night already. You know, she's not wanted to, you know, to wake up the whole neighborhood. So, you know, that dog had to shush. So anyway, but if it had not been for that prayer and then God using something small as a dog that woke
mm-hmm.
my brother up,
mm-hmm.
they let me in. And the wonderful thing to it, too, was the next day my sister decided she was going to go with me to that conference that I was there for.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to hear this prayer woman that had 1,200 people there listening to her. So we both got to go, but guess what? I was worried when I told my sister, oh, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I thought, oh, she's not going to want to go. And I really want her to go. So I didn't tell her just how bad it was going to be. I was thinking I was just going to make the difference up, you know. But I really didn't have that kind of money. But anyway, so we go there, and guess what God did? God allowed her to get in for free. That woman said, weren't you here yesterday? And she says, no, that was my sister. And says, oh, the other lady says, oh, hey, you just go on. Somebody paid for this ticket already here. You take this bracelet, whatever, and go in. My sister got in for free, so God took care of that little speech I was going to even make about the sorry too much. And she got in for free, and the money that she used, Miss Ruthie, that she got in for free, she used to buy lots of books. So she ended up having this author that sold 10 million books have time to sign a whole slew of books while she was telling her life story. My sister was telling her some stuff. And, of course, I got to give her one of those, you know, CDs about the Common Core, which was the God assignment. That was really why I wanted to go, because I wanted this powerful praying woman to be hearing the issues that we're concerned about, the children, and to be praying and hopefully getting a lot of prayer warriors praying over it with her, because we know the power of giving it to God in prayer.
We sure do.
So there's my long story, but, you know, it's like, you know, I was so just on the other side was wonderful. And I know that there's people that's probably listening to us and listening to your solution, and they're probably thinking, I sure do want to get on the other side. Well, I'm just going to tell them, trust God, pray about it, and then go to Ms. Ruthie's website, because I believe it's a God thing. God is able to work things out.
Amen.
So,
amen. You know what? Put that link there. I sent you the link. Just go into this radio program and where
I will. I'll put it on that.
And just put it on there so that they can see. They can go right to it instead of having to go to the website. They can go right to the link and they can, you know, fill out the information and read about it and everything else. It's time for us to work together, people, because you're not going to get anything done through legislation.
Well, let's give it to God in prayer. And folks, it's really, sometimes it's as simple as, praying and trusting God. So, you know, for those of you that are iffy about this, please join us in prayer and trust God. He is able. Ms. Ruthie, would you mind praying for him?
Father God, we just come before your throne. We know that there's so many people in despair. We know that there's so many people that don't trust anything out there that's going on right now. And it's very understandable, you know. But we ask you, Father God, that you give them something, because this is the only thing that I've seen that can help the community, that can help the people, that can really really empower us to believe in you and realize that you are protecting us and that you are a God that never lies to your people, and that you will protect us and guide us, but that we've got to put you first, and we do have to walk by faith. You know, we have to believe that the things that we need to step out and do, that you're going to take care of us and provide for us. And you gave the vision. You happened to use me as one of your vessels to be able to get the vision out, because you know that I'm crazy enough to get it done. And so I pray that people see it and that they will have favor with one another so that we can make this thing work, because it can't work with just one person and stuff. It's going to work with all of us together. And this is just like 65 plus that Chuck Woolery is working with, except for it's for 65 and under, you know, and we're just going to work this thing and do whatever has to be done, the same kind of program that they almost have. This is almost the same kind of program. So, Lord, I ask you that people give us favor and that they're willing to work together and be cooperative, and that we're able to get this co-op off the ground and really be able to make a difference for your kingdom and your children in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I think, Ms. Ruthie, you know, this is wonderful, and I can just imagine these young people who's right now panicking, you know, about the fines, the fees, and whatever, and if they don't pay it, what would happen? You know, to trust you with $25, in comparison, you know, just they couldn't do better. So I think I'm going to hear quite a few of them coming your way. So,
amen, amen. That'll be a blessing. That will be a blessing.
Oh,
it's a blessing for them
will.
Because it's
yes.
I get a thrill out of seeing people succeed, and I mean people healed, and people saying, "Hey, it works." That's the thing that gets me excited. You know,
well,
with somebody,
I'm excited.
You know, well, thank you so much. You know, and I really appreciate you having me come on tonight to talk about it.
Thank you. It's exciting what you're giving for is life. You know, you're giving them hope because they're working hard. It takes more to eat. It takes more for gas. It takes more for electricity. A lot of things.
Yes.
So for them to be able to see that within just $25, if you're a single person and you're wanting to meet that Obamacare mandate, $25. You can spare that much better than you can the whatever thousands of dollars that you may have to pay, you know, in a year. So, but anyway, thank you, Ms. Ruthie. And
you're
know what?
You're welcome.
I want you to come on every month and talk about this because we got to get this going.
And give you updates. I would definitely do that.
Well, of course, you come on more often than that, but I certainly want to cover this. You know, we want to cover this. We want it growing. Good. We want people healthy and not stressed out. They need to see this. Okay. Well, God bless
you,
Ms.
Darling.
Ruthie.
Okay,
talk
God bless
to you later.
You thank you so much.
Oh,
okay,
thank you. Well, listeners, we hope that you will share this podcast. Go to www.cityonahill.tv. May the Lord bless you and shine his face upon you. He loves you. Don't make it hard. It does take faith. So we pray that you will be found faithful and just let what God will do for you. He is for you, and he will help you. Good night.